because the Lord told me to go to Romans 4 for tonight. So it's all about Abraham justified by faith. So he's on. So I want you to go to Abraham with me. And Romans chapter 4. Now, you know, you got to remember that our God is a God of order. And he never, never fails to really get us to see ourselves. And in chapter 4, we're going to kind of impact, hopefully, a few words that will change your opinion of you. That's the whole goal of chapter 4. Change your opinion of you. Verse 1 says, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." So the first stress is to believe God about you. Not just your neighborhood or the circumstances in your life, but about you yourself. Verse 4. "When a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, the man who does not work but trusts God, who justified the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness." So in other words, the man who does not work but trusts God is justified. And the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man whom God credits righteousness apart from works. But we have been so indoctrinated in many, many traditional faiths, traditional churches, traditional church teaching. You got to do if you want to go in. And the do's are not going to get you in. They're not going to get you to be righteous. All you're going to do is get paid. Reward. Reward. Amen. Okay. Verse 7, "Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him." So I'm going to ask you point blank, are you blessed?
Yes.
Yes. You are blessed. Now the minute you say I am blessed, oh, you say, oh, but what about the curses that come against me? They can't touch you because you're blessed. You can't be both. And I could go on there, but I don't want to. Verse 9. "Is this blessedness only for the circumcised?" Now notice again, when you're talking about the circumcision, Paul is having a lot of problems with legalistic Jews. He's having a lot of problems with legalistic workers that have worked all their lives trying to stay holy. They have yet to come out of under the law. They're doing all the Ten Commandments to the nth degree, driving everybody crazy, and God is saying, okay, Paul, straighten him out. And now I am trying to tell you out of God's Holy Spirit's word to straighten you out. I'm trying to make you awake so that you're going to realize that you are blessed. That your sins and your transgressions are forgiven. Where are they? They're on the tree. Jesus already took care of it. Okay? "Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him." Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? How many know it was before? It was not after, but before. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith. He had it by faith, not by works, while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is also the father of the circumcised. Because you see why? He was circumcised after. And not only are circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. So he had faith all the way through. Verse 13. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offerings received the promise that he would be heir of the world. Watch carefully now. The promise was that he would be heir of the world. Everybody wants to get out of this world, and it's going to be your inheritance. But through the righteousness that comes by faith, so it is a choice that you declare that you are righteous by faith. For if those who live, verse 14, by the law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. So is he righteous when he's declaring that he is righteous? Is he acting and justified in declaring it, or has he made some mistakes? He's justified by what? By faith. How are you and I justified? By faith. It's not because you are perfect. Because if you start out advertising how perfect you are, I'll start showing you the law and see how many times you failed in the last 24. Not days either. 24 hours. Now watch. 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Remember, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. So in other words, not only for him, but all who come after him. Amen? Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Is it the promise that God had made to him that he's looking to manifest? Yes. So the first step is to get a word from the Lord. When the word of the Lord comes, you apply it and you go forward with it. Which is going back to John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30. Jesus never did anything to please himself. Abraham didn't do things to please himself. He was doing what he needed to do to please his father. Verse 22, this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone, but also for us. So what he earned by faith, you and I carry the ball by faith. Amen. To whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believed in him, who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Did you hear that? He was put in the ground and killed for your sins. Raised for what? To justify us. That's intense. When you say I'm justified, you go right back to looking at a dead corpse that they put in the ground for 3 days, and you say, how could it be? I mean, those of you who have been to a funeral, you know how it can be difficult. When he came out of the ground, why do you think nobody believed it? Their unbelief button was sticking out like Pinocchio. Go to Romans 10, 9 and 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10, because that's the verse he gave me this morning. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Why is the resurrection important? That's where deliverance comes. That's where your dead situation might be in your body, might be in your mind, might be in your emotions. Need resurrection. You can claim it because he didn't stay dead. How are you going to claim it? By declaring it with your mouth. How did you get saved? Jesus is my Lord. How did you believe it? By repeating it. You created in the air something dramatic. And God honored it and said, now you're in the air along with Abraham. You're connected. You're in the family. You've been adopted. All those terms are in there. You see, how about if you have yourself as a guest in a very fancy hotel, and they're telling you you have a free breakfast with your night's rest. You sit down at the table at a gorgeous dining room, and the waitress comes over and said, may I help you? And you're just muttering inside your brain saying, if she was smart, she'd know I want 2 eggs. I want a cup of coffee. I want an English muffin, well done. Lots of butter. What's wrong with her? Why isn't she bringing it?
Because you didn't declare it.
You didn't open your mouth. We got so many Christians that believe in their brain that they're healed, but don't declare it with their lips. And they can't get what was supposed to happen. You say, well, am I a part of that? Name it and claim it. No! Wait for the word of the Lord. Wait for the timing of the Lord. When he says, today you're free, declare it. Jesus didn't do what he wanted to do, he did what his father told him to do. Tonight there was a vision about ribs. It activated somebody else's need for a miracle for somebody they care about. And it's now being declared that healing is going to go for that person. Now, is it their ribs that are going to get healed, or could it be their emotions? We don't know. Could they maybe transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light? By that one word of knowledge, you don't know. But you know this. It's been declared and the words have come out. The waitress, which is your angels, they're off. They're doing what they need to do for Kate. They're already doing it. And it's all done. It's completed. Why? Now, believing you have received, it will be done unto you. That means that whenever you have a thought pattern, well, oh, this is too wild. I mean, why would God choose that lady from Chicopee for my friend from so-and-so? It's
God.
So, huh?
Because he's God.
Because he's God, exactly. He's a loving Father. He cares about us. Amen? When we took communion tonight for a lady named Tina, we know that God's going to do something there. Now, do we know the fullness of what he's going to do? No, but we can certainly activate the angels and reminding those angels that this lady needs a miracle. Amen? And she will get it if we hold on, and we hold on in faith, believing that it is completed. And that God will use whatever he has to get it done. That's our job. Okay? The doctors have opinions. They have tests that they take. But you know what? I went to Costco's to pick up some odds and ends the other day, and I ran into a man that I had not seen for quite a while. He's close to my age. And, I wanted to straighten him out, but God wouldn't let me. But I remember that man back at Grace Church. Over 20 years, maybe. I would say 18 anyway. Sitting in the back pew every Friday night because he couldn't hardly walk. He had had 5 back surgeries. 1 anointing of oil. And every pain left his body. What did he do with it? He was in church for the next 5 years or so. But when the persecution came, he walked away. Why? None of us know. And I really wanted to say, hey, where are you? What are you doing? What's happening with you? And I heard, keep quiet. Why would God tell me to keep quiet?
He's at work.
Huh?
Because he's at work. He doesn't want you to interfere.
Doesn't want me to interfere. The decision probably has already been made, because if he wanted to be in the house of the Lord, he would be.
He might be in a different house of worship.
He might be, and that's perfectly okay. But he's asking for prayer because he's facing another surgery. And I was told, be quiet. So what am I saying to you? I don't know all the ins and outs, but I know this. If I declare with my mouth and believe with my heart, things will change.
But you had to be in the odds and ends department for him to see you that day.
Yes.
God can do so.
He can do whatever pleases him. And certainly I would not be the type to apply pressure. And I didn't want to do that. Because we had spoken about 2 years ago when I ran into him then by accident. Holy Ghost accidents happen to us all the time. Would you close your eyes, please? Hey, Holy Spirit, I need words coming from you to activate my mouth so that I will be not only delivered and healed, but set free and be aware that I am righteous by faith because of what Jesus did for me. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Look at your neighbor. Say, I'm righteous.
I'm 100%
righteous. God is satisfied with me. He's forgotten all my sin. It's about time I forget him. I can be in agreement with him when I don't look at my sin. I can be in agreement with him when he calls me a saint. So I can now make a bold statement. Here, saint me.
Here, saint me.
Amen?
So go hug a saint.